has come. Salvation has come. Amen. Oh, it is a good thing this morning to be able to gather together with the fellowship of believers here and join our voices together in praise to the one and the only one who is worthy of that praise here this morning. I know that sometimes, you know, our focus can get sidetracked, we can get distracted, and we can get drawn away from what life is really about, and I believe that's just a work of the enemy that is trying to distract what God has promised that we can have and what is ours if we want it and want to claim it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of Zion's hill, salvation has come. Going on in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 through 26, Luke chapter 11, 14 through 26, and I encourage you to turn there as we read this here scripture and see what the Lord has for us here this morning. Luke chapter 11, verse 14 says this, "And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own place, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him, and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through the dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I come. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first." And this morning, I think we have all come at different times in life. We have come in touch with the evil forces that are around in the world today. And if you don't believe that there's demons active in the world today, just talk to people that worship Satan. They know the demons are active. And these things are happening all around us, and daily I think we are bombarded by this here host of evil spirits that is intending to draw the children of God away from God. And I believe the only weapon that we have to stand against that this morning is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is staying close to God, staying near to Him, that when we are tempted, tested, and tried, and bombarded from every side by the evil forces of Satan, that we can rely not on our own strength, but that we rely on this power that is demonstrated, that Jesus demonstrated here in verse 14. He says, he was casting out a demon and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. You know, I think how many times have we in the past where we've been in contact with what was actually demonic activity, and we try and treat it with medicine. Not saying that's always the case. I'm saying that sometimes it may be that there is some demonic activity going on in a person's life, and we give them medicine to treat it. Jesus is saying there is a power that is available against the spiritual forces, and he wants us to be able to recognize that. It's not in me. It's not in you. It is in the power of Jesus Christ. the target, the goal of Satan is to destroy the church of God. You know, there's nothing that gets Satan's attention more than when a believer gets into the Word and the Word gets into a believer. That gets Satan's attention. And he will unleash all of his forces against you when you attempt to walk in holiness with God. So it's a little heavy this morning. And I encourage you to pray that God will release His Spirit to enlighten the Word this morning that it might bring forth fruit. Because what I believe God wants for us this morning is to understand that we are not defeated in the name of Jesus. Amen? We are not defeated. There is a power that is available. And this morning, if you are struggling with being able to overcome some sin or some temptation or some bad habit or something that God wants you to be rid of, you have the power to do that through Jesus Christ. That's the final word. You have the power to overcome through Jesus Christ. And the closer you stay to Him, the more that is the only place. That is the only place that you will have the power to overcome. So I ask you again this morning, is God in your life? Do you have victory over the enemy? Are you experiencing victory over Satan this morning? There's a poem that goes like this. It says, "You tell on yourself by the friends you seek, by the manner in which you speak, by the way you employ your leisure time, by the use you make of every dollar and dime. You tell what you are by the things you wear, by the spirit by which your burdens you bear, by the kinds of things that which you laugh, by the records you play on your phonograph. You can tell what you are by the way you talk, by the manner in which you bear defeat, by so simple a thing as what you eat, by the books you choose from a well-defined shelf. In these ways and more, you tell on yourself. So there is really not a practical particle of sense in your efforts to keep up your false pretense." And I'm not speaking that to anyone in particular this morning. It's just a poem that I found, and I just thought it connected with the message here this morning. And we don't need to pretend, because we have access to the greatest power that was ever given to mankind. Say your body is like a house. Just for reference, for this year's scripture this morning, your body is like a house. It is a physical dwelling for the spiritual soul. This evil spirit was living in this guy's house, and Jesus came along and kicked him out. And this morning, we need to recognize that that same power that Jesus used against this evil spirit that was living in this man's house is available again today for all of us to have access to. Our power is in our oneness with Christ. And I ask this morning, there are I think it's again important to us this morning that we remember that the things we put into our eyes, that we feast on with our eyes, and that we entertain in our thoughts and our mind, are really important, because what we're doing with the temple of God is important to God. I believe it is possible for a Christian to be harassed and oppressed by the enemy, and that there are times in our lives that many of you can identify with, that you have walked through a time where you know without a shadow of a doubt that Satan had targeted you and was all out to destroy you. And I believe that that does happen today, and that's what we need to be aware of this morning, that we are living in the end times, and there's nothing more that Satan wants than to destroy the church of God. And you and I are the church of Jesus Christ. How is it that demons take possession of a house? How did this happen to this man, where he was demon-possessed and he was mute, and another scripture says he was blind as well? How did it happen that this person was overcome by the demon? And I think that one of the things that, some of the ways that we have to bear in mind that the enemy gains access into our spirits is by, first of all, by the rejection of Jesus Christ. It's not difficult. It's not complicated. Simply by the rejection of Jesus Christ, we can open ourselves up with an invitation for Satan to come and take residence within the human being. Another way is by unforgiveness. It's another way that we invite Satan to come into our hearts. We open the door for him to be able to come in and take residence when we harbor unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts towards our fellow man. And I think it's no secret to anybody that music has been, down through the ages, has been a form of worship. It has been used in worship. Therefore, I believe it's important that we understand that the music that we listen to, that is not ministering to the flesh, but that is ministering to the Spirit. Because this is another way that Satan has been able to gain access into people's lives. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 15, 22 through 23. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. And herein, I think, lies what God has for us this morning. That in this here opening ourselves up to the power of Satan, or opening ourselves up for the harassment of Satan, one of the biggest avenues I believe that Satan can use in your life to get to your spirit is through rebellion. And we live in a day where I believe that rebellion is running more rampant than it ever has in the time of history. There is rebellion at every level. There is rebellion towards anything that demonstrates itself as an authority in whatever position it is in. And in our lives, we need to recognize that Jesus Christ is the ultimate authority. And this is what the Word says in Samuel. It says, "So Samuel said to Saul, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king.'" And the point I want us to get here this morning, in verse 23, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So I believe this morning, if our hearts and our minds are going to be pure, and we're going to be able to experience the power of God to overcome the things that come our way, we need to be in submission to those that God has placed in our lives. And I speak, first of all, to children. God has placed parents in your lives. He has placed parents there for your protection, to give you shelter and clothing and those types of things that you need throughout life. And when you're in rebellion to them, you open yourself up for the enemy to be able to harass you. To fathers this morning, God has called you to be the priest of your home. He has called you to nurture, and He has called you to provide. that this morning, you are in direct rebellion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have been called to do that. And it is a direct rebellion. And if you are asking for power, and if you are asking for strength this morning, and you're not taking your place, you're opening the door for the enemy to be able to harass you in horrendous ways. I speak to wives this morning. And I ask you again this morning that you recognize that God in your marriage relationship, God has placed the husband as the head of you, of his, the relationship. God has placed that there in your life to give you leadership. It is not a bondage when the man takes his position and he does it according to the way that God wants it to be done. Now, when a man loves his wife as Christ loved the church, then it's not difficult for a wife to be able to submit to her husband. What happens if that man is not, if that man is not doing everything exactly right? Does that give the wife the freedom then to not honor and respect and submit to that leadership in her life? If your wives, if your husband today is asking you to do something that is not contrary to the Word of God, I believe that God calls you to be obedient. And to all of us, as it relates to government, I believe there is such a move of rebellion against government today that when the government is asking us to do something, and some of the things that we're asked to do, probably three primary things is this, that we are called to pray, pay, and obey as it relates to government. Okay? So I believe this morning that if you have chosen to not be obedient, to do those things, to pray for those people, to obey them, and to pay them, then you're living in rebellion. See, we look at rebellion as something that is like, that would be some kind of defiance against God. But there are everyday areas of life that we can exercise rebellion. And I call us this morning again to this caution that we be obedient. Because when we're not obedient, when we open these things up, it gives room for the devil. To the congregation, God has placed leaders in the church. And it's difficult for me to say this, being in that position, but I ask you again, is it not true that when your church leadership is trying to give spirit and life and speak into your life, that if we're not asking you to do something that is not against the Word of God, God has placed these people in all these areas, parents, husbands, government, church leaders, to bring protection and blessing, not to be a tyranny. As you can see from these scriptures, a reference about Satan and his activities. He is the adversary of every believer. He is the adversary of every believer. He is committed to doing all he can to discourage, disarm, and defeat us in our Christian walk. He is doing everything he can to disarm us, discourage us, and defeat us. But we don't need to be in submission to that this morning. That's what I'm sharing with you this morning. We do not need to be in submission to that. But we need to stay close to our Heavenly Father, because that is the only place that our strength comes from and our protection comes from. Karen and I had the opportunity of taking Karen's parents to Elk County here a month ago or so. And right back of the pine trees was another bull. And the big bull saw this here little bull right away, and he turned his head that way, and he stood there at attention while all the cows and calves are still grazing there. They have no idea what's going on. But the bull that's watching, he knows what's going on. And this here, just for sake of illustration, this here came to my mind as the big bull being the God bull. And the little bull coming out of the woods over there was the Satan bull. Okay? So this here God bull is watching this here little Satan bull come around trying to get around to his flock. And he would, as he would circle the herd, this here big God bull would just follow him and just watch as he went. And then after a while, he ran after him and drove him off into the woods. And the whole time, this here herd is of cows and calves are standing there eating peacefully. And it just, as I thought about that, I thought about this morning as I was thinking about these here elk and how that they felt so secure when that bull was there. They didn't have any care of what was going on around them. In our lives, we have one who is watching every move of Satan and is willing and is ready to drive him off if we are willing and ready to stay close. Because as it happens, one of the cows wandered away from the herd there a little bit, and that Satan bull was right there, you know, ready to harass that cow until the big bull saw what was happening, and he went over and got this cow back in the herd again, running off the little Satan bull. That might be pretty lame, but I tell you what, Satan is defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we need to walk as such who are children of God, and that our strength is not in myself, it's not what I say, it's not what I do, but it is in my relationship with Jesus. It is in my relationship with God. That is where I find strength. That is where I find security. That is where I can graze and I can do the things that God wants me to do. When I stay close to Him, when I wander off is when I will put myself in a place where Satan is able to come in and to destroy and distract and to harass. You see, the Word of God says here, He says in 17, He said, "But knowing their thoughts, He said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, and a house divided against a house will fall. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges." Then he goes on in verse 21, he says this, "When a stronger man, fully armed, guards his own place, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils." And listen to this verse, "He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters." And I think this here verse 23 sums up all of what was ahead of it there. It says, "He who is not with me is against me." The house cannot be divided. It cannot be divided. It must stand together. And I titled the message this morning, House Cleaning Time. And all of us have gone through the time of house cleaning where we have gone through our things and we have decided that there are some things that need to be thrown out. And it's house cleaning time. It's a time to get rid of the things smiling disposition. Must be nuts to live in this world with a smiling disposition. And here's another copy of another, quoting another reporter. As Wednesday night's House vote to reopen the federal government and raise the debt ceiling came to a close, a congressional stenographer had apparently heard enough and gave the chamber a piece of her mind. She went to the well of the chamber, grabbed the microphone, and began shouting what seemed to be biblically inspired rants, including, "He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here is not one nation under God. It never was." She also admonished the House members that you cannot serve two masters, and a house divided must fall. And then she was dragged away. The truth of the matter is, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And if you're attempting this morning to entertain both the power of God and the power of Satan, there's one that's going to win. God doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't make you do what you don't want to do. Satan does. When you're in bondage to Satan, you are a slave to him. And he will take over. He will be the strong man of the house. As it says here in verse 21, when a strong man fully armed guards his own place, his goods are at peace. Now I think about the strong man coming into our house and how that the strong man can only survive if we feed the strong man. And how is it that we feed the strong man? And I believe this morning it is God's call to us that we need to stop feeding the strong man. Because it is through that that he gains strength and he is able. How is it that we feed the strong man? We feed the strong man when we try living with a foot in both kingdoms. Jesus said, "He who is not for me is against me." We feed the strong man when we claim to love God and disregard unforgiveness in our hearts for our fellow man. And I know this morning that relationships are a target of the enemy. Relationships are a target of the enemy. And as we interact with each other on a human level, we need to be aware that Satan is doing his dirty best to try and come between every relationship that exists, especially those of the household of faith, especially the children of God. Understand that when we are giving in and we are harboring unforgiveness and bitterness towards a fellow believer, we are opening the door to the strong man and we are feeding him. We feed the strong man when we walk through life defeated by past hurts. And our every response is because of what happened to us years ago. See, we're feeding the strong man when we do not claim the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ to overcome what has happened to us. You see, here's the beauty of it this morning. No one can steal your victory in Christ if you don't let them. No one can take your joy in the Lord if you don't let them. No one can take God's peace from you if you don't let them. No one can take your songs of praise if you don't let them. No one can hinder your spiritual growth if you don't let them. You see, it is through feeding the strong man that he then inhabits the house and he takes over and he possesses everything. We feed the strong man when we feast our eyes on impure things. Guys, just a challenge again this morning. I've said it before, I say it again. Be aware that Satan's enemy is for you, or Satan's goal and his purpose, for you to feast your eyes on things that are not pure. And if you think that you can go and sit on the beach and have half-naked women walking past you and it doesn't bother you, that's a lie from the pits of hell. should make our hair stand up. If you have some. It should make our hair stand up. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And yet it doesn't bother us. We can talk bad about the authorities in our lives. We can talk bad about the government. We can talk bad about our parents. We can talk bad about our pastors. Out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order, and then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, I believe that he comes in and he cleans the house. And I believe that right there, where many people have fallen because that's where they stop. The house is now clean. But it is important that you and I fill the house with something good. Fill the house with those things that honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And the best way to do that is the Word of God. Fill your heart and your mind with the Word of God. It is the best weapon you have against the enemy, Satan, this morning. When you fill your heart, when you get into the Word, and the Word gets into your heart, guess what?